We're going to take a little journey. It starts in 1962. Who remembers 1962? John Glenn, first American to circle the Earth. The Bee Gees were hot. The number one rated TV show was The Beverly Hillbillies. If you remember that, tonight you're in for a treat. In 1962, I'm 10 years old. My parents are Holocaust survivors from Poland, living and raising me and my three siblings in Tampa, Florida. How many of you have ever been to Tampa? Well, back in 1962, it wasn't as crowded, didn't have as many tall buildings, but it was beautifully sun-drenched, Clearwater Beach with white quartz sand. It was a great place to grow up as a child. My father started a cabinet business. He was a dentist by trade in his town of Krakow, Poland, but there's no reciprocity in the United States. So what does a dentist do with his hands? He builds cabinets. He started a cabinet shop that grew and ultimately became the leading manufacturer of store fixtures for the drugstore and department store trade. Mom stayed at home and raised me and my three siblings. As Dad's business grew, his fortune grew. And as his fortune grew, people would line up to ask him for money. My parents used to call them schnorrers. How many of you have heard that term? Some think the term means a beggar. Some think the term means somebody that's asking for money. In today's PC, it's a fundraiser. No one came more often through the plant to ask for money on a regular basis than the black hat, black coat, Chabad Lubavitch rabbis. They must have come 2-3 times a month, always making a beeline to his office. And I'm sure Dad always cut a nice check because they always kept coming back. Somehow, they convinced my parents that little A.B. was going to be the next great rabbi for America. And for a certain sum of money and a commitment to send me to the yeshiva in Brooklyn, they could make that happen. Well, shortly thereafter, I'm on a train to cold, dark, busy, dirty Brooklyn. And I'm in a cold, dark, dirty yeshiva building filled with men in black hats, long gray beards, black coats, and tons of pale white kids in wrinkly shirts. The building smelled like rotten eggs wrapped in B.O. Every Sunday morning, the chief rabbi called me into his office. He's sitting across from an expansive desk with a long gray beard, big glasses. He's looking at me. Was Herzog? That means, what's happening in Yiddish? Was Herzog? Well, what's happening? What's happening is, I don't want to be here. I want to be in Tampa. I want to play baseball, chomp down on hot dogs, and watch the Beverly Hillbillies. Why am I here, Rabbi? You, little A.B., are here because Hashem has shined his face upon you. You are a blessing to your family, who has lost so much in the Shoah. They are alive today because of you. Now, that's a Jewish guilt sandwich. That's hard to swallow. So while he was saying this, I'm thinking of beautiful Tampa. I'm thinking of hot dogs, which I still love to this day, right? In the back of my mind, a theme song to the Beverly Hillbillies. You know it. Come listen to a story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer who barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting for some food, and up from the ground come a bubbling crude. Oil, that is, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, okay, I'll go. Jed's a millionaire, blah, 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 blah. Beverly Hillbillies, swimming pools, movie stars. That was the image I had until I heard again, Vus Erza. Okay, Rabbi, I'm not rabbi material. I don't like davening all day. I don't like being around these smelly kids. I don't like you. I want to go home. What's it going to take? I get dismissed, you know, with a mean look. I'm sitting on my bed, contemplating the great escape. And I remember Huckleberry Finn. Huckleberry Finn, who escaped an abusive father by getting on a raft and floating down the Mississippi. But I'm in frickin' Brooklyn. But I can still escape. So I start a soft escape on a Tuesday. After Mincha and Maariv, I grab an apple and I run out the front door and I'm hiding in the corner. After a couple hours, I'm cold and scared. No one's looking for me. I come back in. It's like I was invisible. I tried this two more times, same result. At this point, I am sitting on my bed again, wondering, maybe God wants me here. Or maybe I'm not trying hard enough. So it's Shabbat. And what happens on Shabbat in a yeshiva? Not a hell of a lot. No electricity, no elevator, no car, no TV, no radio, no elevator, no intercom. If I escape, they won't know where I am and they won't come after me. And it'll drive them freaking crazy. So I left after services and hid behind a big tall mailbox, looking and waiting to see black hats run out of the yeshiva for me. Soon enough, someone comes by, grabs me by my just-growing payas, like this, drags me across the street, dumps me in the foyer of the yeshiva. Later, I learned they called that the hair dance. Well, that just made me more angry. And I did that two more Shabbatot, ran across the street, and I stayed out longer each successive Shabbat, from early morning till after Havdalah, until after dark. By that time, when I walked into the yeshiva, I was the most hated kid in the school. Success! I figured, they're going to kick me so hard, I'm going to fly from New York and land in Tampa. That next Sunday, I'm in the chief rabbi's office, and he hands me the phone. It's my father. You are no longer going to be in the yeshiva, he said. But you're not coming home either. You're going to live the rest of the school year with your Bubby and Zeta on their chicken farm in Vineland, New Jersey. Mom, Dad, there's got to be some mistake. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in Vineland. I don't want to be with chickens. I want to be with you, with my brother, with my sisters, with my friends, playing baseball, watching the Beverly Hillbillies, and having a hot dog. Son, you're an embarrassment to the family. Everyone in Tampa thought you were going to be the next great rabbi. Now you've been kicked out of the best yeshiva in the country. You're going to have to stay the remainder of the school year with your Bubby and Zadie. I'm now in Vineland, New Jersey, on their chicken farm. Now, my Bubby and Zeta are also Polish immigrants, Holocaust survivors. They spoke Russian, Polish, Hebrew, Yiddish, and maybe 10 words of English. They had no car, no radio, no TV. They knew nothing about a 10-year-old or the potential antics that I would bring to the family. But I loved them, and they loved me. I didn't want to do anything to hurt them. But I knew eventually I would need to escape. How would I do it in such a way that wouldn't hurt them? Let me tell you about my grandmother and grandfather. Grandpa was tall, probably where I got my height. He was strong. He was a tailor by profession in Europe. When he got angry, he thrashed around the house, yelling in multiple languages. When Bubby got upset, she was short, stout, dressed in a house dress all day in a babushka. When she got angry, maybe it was reflux, but she would have this belch, this mournful belch that sounded like this. Bleh! Bleh! Bubby belched often. Well, Tuesday came. I knew what I had to do. I wanted it to be soft. And so I came home from school, fixed the sandwich, went into the tall grass across the street. I'm looking to see if they're going to come for me. It's dark. I come into the house. There's a dinner waiting for me on the table, and they're already in the bedroom asleep. Next morning, I'm waiting to see if they're going to say anything. Nothing. I did this two more times. Dinner's on the table. They're asleep. They didn't notice a thing. Now I'm getting worried that I'm going to have to pull the nuclear option, the Shabbat option. I didn't want to hurt them. So I figured I would plead with my parents one more time. It's after Shabbat. I'm on the phone. Mom, Dad, please let me come home. Nope. You know, you're an embarrassment, blah, blah, blah. You got to work it out. After the year, no one will remember. You'll come home. We'll be fine. Mom, Dad, you know, Zeta is sick. He has a heart condition. And Bubby is losing her sight. And God forbid, if I have to pull the nuclear option and Zeta has a heart attack, it's going to be on you. Don't do it, they said. Well, at first Shabbat that I could, I went into the tall grass with my sandwich and waited to see if they would come and look. And the moment I saw that, I was going to spring out because I didn't want to prolong it. Second Shabbat, I don't see anyone. I come back in the house. They're upset. They're looking at me. They're speaking all these different languages. But they didn't say anything. I'm on the phone with my father. I hear you've been away. Yes, you better send me to Tampa. No, you're not coming to Tampa. So I knew the last Shabbat, I was going to have to make this gut-wrenching. I was going to leave at the crack of dawn so they wouldn't know where I was. And I wasn't going to come back until late at night. Again, they had no one to call. They had nowhere to go but sit and enjoy the chaos that little Abby was bringing. I'm in the tall grass, and I see my Bubby in her little house dress and her babushka coming out like this. Abi Yossel! Bleh! Kimahaim, come home! Bleh! I was heartbroken. I couldn't continue. I came out of the weeds. I gave her a hug, and we walked into the house, and there was dinner. My grandfather comes running into the kitchen with his belt outstretched. Bubby inserts herself in between us to shield me from his tirade. Years later, they made Aliyah to Israel. They moved to Israel. Grandpa suffered a fatal heart attack while yelling at the pharmacist for not filling his prescription fast enough. Bubby lost her sight and moved into a nursing home in the very Orthodox section of Mer Sharim in Jerusalem. It's 1982. I go to see her. Bubby, it's Abi Yossel. Whack! I'm sure I deserved that. And what happened to little A.B.? Little A.B. went to law school, and then he went to Yeshiva University, where he got his master's degree and became, with a specialty in fundraising administration, and became a professional schnorrer. Well, that's not all of it, because now it's time to say goodbye to Jed and all his kin. And they want to thank you all for kindly dropping in. And they want to invite you back to this locality to enjoy a heaping helping of their hospitality, Bolton Street synagogue style, that is. Come spend a while. Take your shoes off. Y'all here? Come back again. Thank you all.